welcome to the D&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons & Dragons. Unless you want to talk about Dungeons & Dragons, that's okay. We might talk about that. It just all depends. So, it is Flat Earth Friday. For the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about Flat Earth, Round Earth, Expanding Earth, Hollow Earth, Pear-Shaped Earth, so on and so forth. All the different weird Earth theories. Now, a friend and an associate is having his Flat Earth Friday podcast as well, although he was an hour late last week, so we're going to wait till 8 o'clock to call into his podcast. Excuse me. And whatnot. This week, yeah, I just totally lost my train of thought. But that's okay, I was on a caboose anyways. I've been dealing with an issue last few days. So I'm not sure what to think or make of that whole situation. So I guess I could talk about that until somebody calls in. David Ray is supposed to be here. But, I mean, I don't know. Did I do the right thing? I don't know. I'm pretty sure I did the right thing. But I didn't mean to insult the person. But, yeah, this girl I was talking to, I met her on a Dateline a year and a half ago. And we were talking for a couple months, whatever. And we ended up getting stuck in the friend zone. Well, recently, you know, I asked her, about a week or so ago, I asked her, says, you know, what did I do wrong? Just, you know, out of curiosity, so that for my own self-improvement, because I have Moon in Libra, and I'm always on a self-improvement campaign. So I wanted to know for my own self-improvement, what did I do wrong to get us put in the friend zone? And she was like, oh, you didn't do anything wrong. I just thought you were too smart, too intellectual for me, and I thought you might get bored with me. Maybe she was right. Well, anyway. So we started talking, and, you know, she was like, well, maybe we should have dated, you know, then. And, you know, then we would, you know, whatever. And so I was like, oh, okay, she's still interested. You know, she was telling me how smart and handsome I was or whatever, attractive, and all these qualities that I have. And so I was like, oh, okay, she's still interested in me. I'm still interested in her. So I let her know I was still interested in her. And we actually talked on the phone two nights in a row, which we never talked on the phone. We always only texted, and it was always digital, which I never really understood why we never got out of that zone either, you know. Everybody's digitized these days. Nobody's old school. I like to be old school. I want to talk on the phone. So that's like a rule for me. If we don't get off the texting right away, you know. But, yeah, so after a year and a half, we finally talk on a freaking phone, you know, and everything. And, you know, everything's groovy. But I don't know. I'm kind of psychic or psycho, one of the two. And so I sensed something wasn't right. So after the first couple days, few days, whatever, I ended up texting her or Facebooking her, one of the two. I was like, you know, for clarity, you know, make sure. Hey, sorry, I lost signal. Luckily, somebody was still here to hold the line. Actually, no, I guess it didn't hold the line because I had to restart the recording. So, yeah, flat earth. Do we buy it? I don't know. Anyways, yeah. There was a couple of things that he said that were interesting, though. He said that the dark angels or the dark people, the dark side, the ways of the dark side are smarter than the ways, or, you know, oh, the children, that's what it was. The children of the dark side are smarter than the children of the light. And that got me thinking about a couple of things. In the beginning, supposedly, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And supposedly, Satan came and deceived Eve into eating the forbidden fruit, whatever it was. And then tricked her into deceiving Adam. So, yeah, that's an interesting topic to discuss. Is the dark side smarter than light or whatever? I just got a text from somebody, probably David Ray. So that'd be something interesting to discuss. Why did God allow us to be so stupid? Why did he create us to be ignorant and naive if we're supposed to be wise, wiser than evil, you know, and to rise up and do all the things we're supposed to do and everything else if we were created foolish to begin with? I mean, I don't know, it's just weird, I don't understand that. But the other thing he said that makes sense to me is the fact that we need to do our homework on things. Yeah, I don't believe in flat earth, but, you know, how do I know it's not true? I don't know. I don't necessarily believe in hollow earth, but how do I know it's not true? You know, I know that in school, growing up, they taught us a lot of things that weren't true. And later I found out different things, like Civil War was not fought over slavery. Slavery is, the freeing of the slaves is a side effect. It was actually a money war. Just about every war is a money war for one reason or another. So, yeah, anytime they talk about war being over something or other, it's probably a lie, because they don't want us to realize that, you know, we're their slaves doing their bidding, and they're lying to us and brainwashing us into doing their bidding, because they know we wouldn't do it otherwise. So they do have to brainwash. Hello!
Hello! So it is still going on.
Sort of, kind of. I've lost signal, like, twice. The first time I was talking to myself for 15, 20 minutes. Somebody else is online, but I don't know who they are, so I'm just talking to them, I guess. I did call in to Jerry's podcast, and Jerry did say a couple things that made sense. For example, one of them was that the children of darkness are smarter than the children of the light.
How so?
I don't remember exactly what he said, but to a degree it makes sense. All right? The ways of the dark side tend to have more more control, more everything. It's like,
it doesn't make it smarter.
People are stupid. Well, people in general are stupid. I mean, I don't know. It's like Adam and Eve, you know. If Adam and Eve were the original creation, or, you know, part of the original creation, why did God create them so stupid that they would believe the serpent to eat the fruit? You know?
I need an innocent, as in lacking wisdom.
Right. Okay. So then, the other thing he talked about is the fact that we should not believe anything blindly. We should do our own homework. So don't just say, oh, the earth ain't flat because, you know, we just don't believe it. We should do our own homework before before we say, oh, that's not true. And that's true. He's right about that. We should do our homework on pretty much everything before we...
Joe's response to the flat earth debate was, who the hell cares? It's a globe. You're all idiots for even discussing it. It's like, yeah, that's a really smart way to approach it. But, you know, I think Bill's response is a little better. It's like, it's interesting. I can't prove one way or the other, but what does it matter? I still go from Texas to New York, and I have to follow these roads. Flat or sphere, I still travel the same distance.
You're right. I kind of agree with both of them.
Yeah, don't shove it down somebody's throat. It's not willing to discuss it. But my problem with Joe's response is there are so many things in this world that people have allowed themselves to be trapped by, you know. And until Jerry shows me, how am I being trapped by thinking the world is globe? You know?
Well, yeah.
What would be different in my life? Would I walk off the edge of the planet if I had the opportunity? Well, actually, I would. but I don't have that opportunity. I don't really have the opportunity to leave this continent.
Right. Well, if we are in a terrarium, we wouldn't be able to leave it anyway. We're still in. Whether it's a global terrarium or a flat terrarium, we're still
just curious, who's the third caller? Who's listening to us?
I don't know. I haven't got online to figure that out.
Are you're in charge of this today?
What are you talking about?
I thought Flat Earth Friday was Jerry's thing.
Oh. He's got his podcast, we got ours, and I called into his, but then I lost signal. But I called into his.
I called into his also, and I'm talking to you. And there's two listeners. Yeah, I called into his, and there's two listeners. There's you, me, and somebody else.
That's weird, because I called into our podcast. That's not possible.
Well, I dialed 256012. Is that ours? Or is that the flat earth one?
I think that's ours.
Well, that's what you gave me to call into the flat earth one. And
there is one
other listener.
Okay, yeah, that's ours. That's the listener line. You called into the listener line.
Ah! I'm a listener today. I'm no longer a host. I got no responsibilities. Yay! Not the difference.
Well, the difference is that if I had a signal, you would hold the line for me whenever I came back in.
Ah, and I'm not holding nothing.
No, it's all good. I probably won't lose signal again this time. Because I'm in a spot that I know that I have good signal, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I got a small delay. I got to figure out where to drop this trailer in such a way I can get back out.
Right.
And
oh.
Still be able to drop the post where I want to drop it. Because this post is heavy. It took me an hour to move it across the yard. And then I had to figure out how to get it in the trailer.
That's not a hatch.
Yeah, no, it's Smallberry. But we could sell it and say it was hedge, and everybody would believe us because the wood is yellow and it is heavy.
Yeah, but we wouldn't do that.
No, we wouldn't do that. Well, we might do that accidentally because there was very few leaves on this that told me that it wasn't a hedge.
Oh, okay.
You know how mulberry leaves are? How they have those lobes? Okay. Some mulberry trees don't have that. Some mulberry trees have leaves just like a hedge tree.
Right. I understand that.
But,
I was just eating mulberries this evening.
Yeah. But they have mulberries on them. Well, this tree had no fruit. Didn't have any hedge apples on it. Didn't have any mulberries on it. Most of its leaves are the same as a hedge apple tree leaves. And it bled profusely of latex when I cut it. I mean, you know, I probably could have filled a pint with latex sap when it started flowing out of the stump. All right?
Is it possible
that told me it was hedge. It could be. It could be. Yeah, see, that's one thing. Even if it takes root and grows, it's never had any fruit on it from what the owner told me. So, even if it springs to life, whoopee. But it's fresh. I'll have it around by tomorrow and hopefully stretch fence off of it by tomorrow. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not for public consumption anyway, but
whatever.
Anyway.
So
you got nobody else to talk to, do you?
Huh?
You got nobody else to talk to, and I'm about to walk away.
You're about to walk away?
Yeah, I'm about to walk away because I got to figure out what to do with this trailer. I got to pull it far enough forward that I can get by it on my way out, but I'm not sure how I'm going to get out.
That's fine. I'll probably call back into Jerry's podcast and get some to debate.
Well, see, this is the number you gave me to call in a long time ago for Jerry's podcast. I scrolled back to go find it.
J for Jerry. No, Jerry's podcast is 712-770-4010. Extension.
Okay, what's the passcode?
Extension 925-952.
No, okay. Well, that's not what I dialed. All right. This has been fun. Talk to you later.
Bye. All right, Bert, me and I will call into Jerry's podcast, and we'll get some more material, if you will.
I'm going to preface it by, I don't even like the terminology, flat earth model, because there really isn't one. I mean, there's people have different ideas, but by and large, if you, how am I going to see that? This is good. This is a really good challenge because I know you can't just sit down on a computer and say, hey, you know, here, Wanda, look this up. If you have just imagine, okay, circles, you know, on a piece of paper. Take a larger, something like a 5 gallon bucket. You know, draw a circle the size of a 5 gallon bucket. And then inside of that, draw a circle that's about the size of a 3 pound coffee can. You know, just a smaller circle. And that would be where the Tropic of Capricorn is, where the sun would go to the farthest reaches of the south. And then, in other words, that's like December is the 21st, winter solstice, the sun is overhead, directly overhead, the Tropic of Capricorn. And then it comes in, and then you about this 15 degrees north of that is the equator. And then 15 degrees north of that is the Tropic of Cancer, where it's the farthest north that it is during the year. So it moves, it's going around in a circle, and then that circle gets, let's say you're starting at the equator, okay? It goes around, and then it's getting whichever, larger or bigger at the time. Let's say you're going for winter up here. We're in the northern hemisphere, so we'll say. Okay, so it's moving to the south, and it's going to get winter here. So it's going to go out to the Tropic of Capricorn. That's December 21st for us. Okay, keeps going around, and it the circles tighten gradually until it's over the equator. You know, like I said, this city in Ecuador where they took the mountain where they took the film from, right on the equator of the sun getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and then it tightens up until it's over on June 21st, which is coming up here, over the Tropic of Cancer, okay, northern hemisphere. So at that point, now these friends of where I'm staying with here are from, they spent time in Alaska, and they know that, you know, there were times when it was always daylight, and there were times when it was always nighttime. Well, always daylight, when it's on the Tropic of Cancer here, it's going to be 24 hours daylight in Alaska for a period of time, what are 20 days or whatever, nearing that and then backing out. So, and then during the winter when it's down at the Tropic of Capricorn, it will be 24 hours of dark because it doesn't reach that far because the Arctic Circle is closer to the North Pole. So you can just draw a concentric circle. So you're going to have the outer one being the outer limits. You could even get real techy and, okay, you draw your biggest circle, and that's your wherever the, if there is a dome, if there's a firmament, where it touches the girth, the terrarium base, if you will. And then an inner one of somewhere, the Antarctic edge. Okay, and then one inside of that, which would be the, just I'm just saying major lines because there's latitude and longitude lines all over the place, but the Tropic of Capricorn would be your farthest south one, then the equator line, and then the Tropic of Cancer, and then, of course, the Arctic Circle. So the difference on this is that your Antarctic Circle is a really, 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 really big circle, you know? So, That's just a fascinating thing to me, coming out more and more and more, is this possibility that if Antarctica is what we are conjecturing, and someday we find proof of that or whatever, Antarctica ramps up fairly quickly from your 200-foot ice walls to a 2-mile-high plateau. So if it's a containment edge around the plane of the Earth, it's a 2-mile-high wall which totally, this is one of the things that blows me away, because what is the one of the biggest things in Scripture that people have mocked and made fun of for centuries? Noah's flood.
Totally impossible.
Not on a flat earth with a 10,000-foot-mile wall around it. But the first guy that went into the stratosphere with a directional capability of looking out the window, he could turn his capsule, stated that it looked like a flat disc with upturned edges. And I'm saying that article would definitely look, it would be, if you could picture this map that I've seen, and it's just from a map, it's a rectangular map, but Antarctica runs the entire length of the equator on this map, all the way around, and it's bright red. And it has almost as much landmass as the rest of the world put together. And there's a map that shows it having more landmass than the rest of the Earth put together. I don't know. I'm just saying that it sticks out like a sore thumb because it's bright red 10,000 feet. And all I'm saying on that is if it is a container, the ring, the edge of the world, and this is the thing that just also where the Bible is just coming alive. You know, Job 26:10, you know, that he, Job 38:14, where he says, you know, that I have set bounds. Let me pull it up here. I'm getting tired. Okay. Okay, that 38:14 is when, you know, it is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. The features stand as a garment. But the turn there is like upturned.
Jerry?
Yes.
I remember that in Job. It's talking about that it goes so far and no further. Yeah. It has bounds.
Exactly that, yeah.
So if it has boundaries, like the Bible says, it wouldn't go round like a ball, go down like worse than Niagara Falls.
Yeah. Who shut up the sea with doors when it breaks forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment and thick darkness as a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no farther, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Where is that on the globe where the water stops? And then Job 26:10, he hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. Oh, yeah. From a different translation, it says, he hath inscribed a circle on the face of the waters at the boundary between light and darkness. And that to me just says it all. I mean, and again, where is that on a globe? There's an end. There is an end of the waters. There's a boundary at which the waters do not cross. And so there's doesn't exist. And you can't inscribe a circle on a globe. You know, you can inscribe it on a flat plane, but you can't inscribe a circle on a globe. That's any kind of a boundary or any kind of a separating point or dividing point. So at the point between light and darkness, where waters end, and that. So I'm just saying that seems to be. I mean, to me, it's definitely what the Bible describes. Now, is it true in life? Well, like I said to this guy, I said, "Look, you're the one with the military and the governments and the photographs and the satellites and the rockets and the planes and the high altitude, blah 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 blah. You want a picture of the Earth? Ask for that from the government, huh? Because we ain't got one yet." It's been 85 years since we've first been up in the first, you know, flight to the stratosphere. And we don't have a picture of Earth in the 1958. Figure that out. Since NASA started in 1958, we do not have a picture of the Earth. We've got a bunch of cartoons. And they're really expensive cartoons, but they're cartoons nonetheless.
Yeah. So if you have a large circle like a 5-gallon bucket and a smaller circle like a 3-pound can, then the larger circle would represent the sun going around the earth. Does it, I mean, we see the sun almost every day, But it seems to get farther away in the winter time. So does it just go around the Earth once a year?
Could I try this, Jerry?
Yeah, who's this, Dana? Or?
This is James.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, hey, Wanda, how are you?
Hi, James. Great.
Hello.
That's good.
How are you, sir? Good to hear you.
Thank you.
I'm just sitting here in my living room, and I have a little flashlight in my hand. And if you just take a flashlight and hold it, I don't know, a couple feet above the floor, and just kind of draw a circle with the light pointing down, maybe a 3-foot diameter circle, you'll see how the flat earth diagram works. It casts light only in that area. Okay, and if you make like a 3-foot diameter circle, say that's wintertime, and then go inside and make like a 2-foot diameter circle, that's summertime when the sun's more overhead. And that's it simplified, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the, so if you've got a flashlight, I'm sitting on the couch, I'm holding it about, I don't know, 18 inches off the floor, and I just draw a circle, like a 3-foot diameter circle with the flashlight on the floor, and then go in and draw about a 2-foot diameter circle. Now, with the landmass where we are is in the middle of the circle. It's right in the middle, right? The landmass of Earth, as we know it, is right in the middle of the circle. Then the 2-foot diameter circle is summertime path of the sun. 3-foot diameter circle is wintertime path of the sun. And then outside of that is Antarctica all the way around. Is that accurate? Wouldn't you say that's accurate, Jerry? Description?
Yeah.
Simplified?
Yeah. If you let's go to 4-foot, 3-foot, and 2-foot. You know, so the 4-foot would be Tropic of Capricorn. The 3-foot would be the equator, and then the 2-foot would be, you know. So, but that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a good way. And you also see that the sun is a directional light. It's a local directional light, and you'll see that. It can be shining. If it's a certain kind of light, I mean, it's a directional, but you can see that it lights up this place and not that place, you know, on the other side of the, it can be really dark on the other side. There is a video that's really awesome. They're standing on a cruise ship up near Alaska or somewhere, and I kid you not, they're standing in one place on the ship, and it's daylight to one direction, like the east, okay? And they turn around, and it's completely black in the other direction. It is cool. The sun is directional. It's a local, small, local light. Ballpark 3,000 miles away. Like I said earlier, you can figure that out with simple math. A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
You know, a friend of mine came over with a really cool light the other night. A very interesting light. It was one of these that they use like in a disco or something to shine on one of those multi-mirror balls.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's a very directional light. It's similar to a projector light. But in front of it, it has a really good magnifying glass. And it just pinpoints that. I mean, it's a beam, about a 2-inch diameter beam, that it just stays 2-inch diameter. You know, the light is about 2-inch diameter. And as far away as you shine the light, it stays 2-inch diameter.
Where's the light coming from?
From inside this tube. Okay, this tube is maybe like 8 inches long and 2-inch diameter. And so it's got a light inside of it, and then a magnifying glass on the end of it. So, and it just pinpoints that beam to a 2-inch diameter. I mean, you can shine it at the house next door or shine it at your foot, and it's a 2-inch diameter beam. It just
Telescopic flashlight. It's a laser equivalent of a flashlight.
Right. It just holds the beam at that same diameter, whatever distance it shines.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Now, what did you say about a disco ball? What about the disco ball? Did you say
that? I think he thought that might be where it came from. You know, he thought that it might be used for that, you know, like in to point at a disco ball or something.
Okay, so he got this from whatever.
He just found it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Anyway,
I thought you were going somewhere with the disco ball thing, because there's people there's conjectures that, you know, I mean, that the sun may be reflecting off of, you know, something else, you know. I don't know. Oh, Jerry, somebody brought up, this is a lady online, but there was a debate between a globalist, supposedly, and who's the other guy? David Weiss, Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, DITRH. His YouTube channel is Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, but his name is David Weiss. He's online, and you can see him. So he debates this guy who's afraid to show his face and afraid to tell his name and blah, 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 blah. But in the comments, somebody brought up that, get this, okay, if there's a dome, you picture a glass bowl, like a glass mixing bowl, over a terrarium, flat earth, and the sun is going, you know, at the Tropic of Capricorn, it's going to be really hot there because the sun is bouncing off of and the heat from it is reflecting up and bouncing back down. And it's going to be really hot at the equator. You know, in other words, the equator, the dome is lower at the Tropic of Capricorn and the equator. And as it gets further north, Arctic Circle, it's not as close. You know, it's closer to the center of the dome. Makes all kinds of sense, you know. It would explain why it's so much hotter and the sun's so much bigger seeming than at the, you know, when it's further north. So it's closer to the dome, if that's the case, the firmament, whatever you want to call it. So we talked about that last week a little bit on the movie Citizen Kane. Possibly being a coded claim to having reached the firmament by William Randolph Hearst and an English guy, Wilkins. That Citizen Kane spelled backwards as E-N-A-K, Enoch, kind of a testimony to Enoch, and the guy dies with a snow globe in his hand, a terrarium, a glass dome in his hand. So, and basically it's people believe that it was Hearst. He was the one that funded the movie. Orson Welles had complete and absolute total control over it, which he never, first movie ever produced in his life. Last time, I mean, no director ever has complete and total control over a movie, but he did for that movie because it was funded by a guy that, you know, with all kinds of money, William Randolph Hearst, blah, 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 blah. So that's a very interesting thing. And it's interesting to me that Enoch was a man who walked with God and was not, for the Lord took him. He was a man who was he became a nothing. He became nothing. And in these last days, his book is coming to the fore. Like I alluded or, you know, commented earlier about the book of Esdras, chapter 6, where it's, you know, I got to read that. I haven't had a chance to go back and, or didn't remember to go back and look at it. But seems to say that the firmament would speak before in the last days. The firmament would speak again, you know. And what did Wernher von Braun put on his gravestone? The only thing on his gravestone, date of birth, date of death, Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament declares his handiwork, shows forth his handiwork, his craftsmanship, his workmanship. Took a whole day of creation to build it, you know. I mean, first day he said, let there be light. Second day he built the firmament, something for it to reflect off of. So, and another guy said this, points this out, if the sun is a direct and local light, okay, the sun comes up, okay? If it's the only light source, and he goes into photography, and you know, when you're doing photography, you have a hard light, a directional light. And then you'll see, you just picture the number of times you've seen a photographer doing weddings or whatever, and they'll have an umbrella-shaped reflector behind it to get light behind it and whatnot. Well, when the sun comes up, if it's the only light source or light, well, if it's the only light source, when it comes up and it's shining on the front of your house, walk around to the back of the house. It should be in complete darkness or shade if that's the only light source, but it isn't. The back of the house is lit up, you know. So point being is that there's either the light source that God created on the first day, let there be light. Evening and the morning was the first day, you know, evening, or the light he called day and the darkness he called night. So there may be still in operation that light. You know, he didn't create the sun and say, okay, we don't need that light that I created on day one. Or the sun is reflecting off of the dome and, you know, creating light through to the back of the house. One of the two, you know. But it gives a whole new idea and conceptualizing to what we really see with our eyes, you know. If the sun is the only source, the back of the house should be dark, you know.
Kind of like the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
Where there's no atmosphere, they say that it's the demarcation of
right.
Full light to full dark.
Right. And a couple other little things I'll just throw out is that, you know, it speaks of the, I think it's in Psalms, you can look it up, but he put the sun and the moon in the clouds. They're definitely, it says he you know, put them in the firmament, the sun, the moon, and the stars are in the firmament. So they're all according to the Bible and according to what we see with our own eyes and with our own cameras, traveling in about the same arc at about the same speed. I talked earlier about the Antarctica video that some guy took, and another guy, a flat earth guy, sped it up to high speed, and the sun and the moon are in the exact same arc at the exact same speed as the stars. They're all traveling at that point in time and at that place at the exact same speed. So in the same arc of angle or same pathway, whatever. That's not true everywhere, because right now I know I've been watching enough that I know the sun is almost directly overhead, and actually should be in two more days or something, 21st. What is today? I don't even know. But anyway, and the moon right now I can see is, I can't tell. I'm not good enough to tell angles, but it's further away. The sun is closer right now than the moon, in my understanding of what I'm seeing. So, yeah.
I know, for me, it comes down to you either lean on the arm of flesh of what the scientists say, or you lean on scripture of what it says. I mean,
yeah.
It's that simple to me.
Yeah, and that's always, for me, that's always the starting place. But I'm here to tell you, when you start seeing real science verifying what the Bible says, water's level.
Well, yeah,
flood,
I'm saying that the globe scientist, you know.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying, I'm agreeing with you. Starting place is scripture. But I'm seeing more and more and more that the science, that the Bible is absolutely real. The evidence that we're seeing is backing up what the Bible says. You know,
right.
And I'm saying real science in that sense, not you know, fantasy. I've said for years, man, fantasy, Disney World, hocus pocus, smoke and mirrors, you know, Wizard of Oz science, you know. And that's what's happening right now. You know, Toto, you know, all these little people are, like little Toto the dog in Wizard of Oz, pulling the curtain back and went, hey, you know, Dorothy, look over here. Oh, you know, there's a lion, there's a scarecrow, there's Dorothy going, that little guy's over there pulling levers, and talking into a big megaphone and pulling the thing, and the smoke comes out, and lightning flashes, and there's thunder, and scaring the living daylights out of us. And oh, he's just a goofy little squirrely guy behind the curtain. And that's what they're doing, all these trolls online, and everybody's saying, hey, Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. Just don't pay any attention to him. You know, that's Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know. The emperor has no clothes. They've been found out. I mean, it's taken a lot of time, but it's coming to the fore. And there is no proof that they, I haven't seen any. I'm trying to be honest, you know. I'm trying to be real honest with the facts, but, you know, I've made the challenge 100 times. I said, hey, dude, you know, show us proof. And if you do, you'll be the first one in the history of mankind, because it ain't there. And I don't think, and I tell them, I said, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. Nothing. You cannot prove, you will not prove to us that there exists curvature of the earth, because you cannot prove that there's curvature of the earth. Period. End of story. And nobody's ever argued. No, nobody's ever come back. When I put that down, nobody's ever come back and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. They just shut up and they disappear. And they change their name and they go on some other group to argue or some other video, you know. So, yeah. But that's the line. You know, hold that line, you know, is the thing about curvature. I mean, if anybody's actually talking with someone, you know, just show me proof of that. And I'll say, I'll believe what you believe. And a lot of people have said that. I'll quit. I'll be happy for you. Okay. Show me proof. Show me proof. You know? But
I have another question or statement.
Yeah.
It seems like to me, as big as this earth is, with all and heavy with all the water and rocks and everything, it don't make sense that it would be spinning. And it makes more sense because when we look up at the sky, we can see the sun moving. We can see the moon moving. It's in different places and different angles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the stars. They say the plan of salvation is written in the stars, like we had stick pictures when we were children.
Yeah.
I don't know if that whole 24-hour picture goes around each day or what, but it seems like every day the sun moves from one side to the other or something.
Yeah.
I don't have the clear picture.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've said. What I've said is this is one thing that everybody can do. I mean, my vision where I'm at is obstructed to the east by trees and to the west by trees. But from the time at which I see the sun coming up, I know how far north it is when I see it, when it's coming up, and it arcs around. To me, it looks like it's about a half of a full circle, but I mean, it's a good part of it because it curves around, it goes up, yes, at a pretty sharp angle, and right now it's going to be dropped directly overhead at noon, and it's going to swing back around and set way far to the north. If it starts at the north and curves and goes down in the north, it's going in some kind of an arc. Same thing with the moon, and the moon is even more because it's further away right now because the sun is closer, like I said, to the Tropic of Cancer, and it's like June 21st in 4 days, it's going to be directly overhead. If we're on the Tropic of Cancer, you know, whatever, that, I don't know where that is. Honestly, I don't. But it's pretty close, you know, it's going to be pretty close. It's right now, today, yesterday I saw it, I took a picture of it, almost directly overhead, almost straight up in the air. I mean, I had to crane my neck almost straight back. And the moon right now is, I'm going to say, 30 degrees, and it's almost, in about another half an hour, maybe an hour, it will be at its highest point. And I've taken a picture of the moon a lot because I'm out at night a lot, unfortunately. And I got to change that for a while. I mean, I need some, I don't know, prayers and this and that, you know. I got a lot of weed whacking to do here. Bill's out on a big, you know, run where that's how he makes money, and I got to get a lot of weed whacking done here. So last night I actually went to bed, left my phone turned off, actually slept at night instead of staying up all night. So because it's going to kill me, you know. I can't stay up all night and then be up in this heat. It's just killer. You know, I can't get to sleep till like 9 or 10 or 12, you know. So I need to sleep when I'm sleeping. So anyway, but yeah, you can see visibly. I would encourage everybody to do that. Note, I mean, you know, if you're on a porch or there's a telephone pole or a tree or, I don't know, a windmill or something where you can stand there and then mark where the sun's coming up and then look at it where it is at noon and look where it sets. And they do the same thing for the moon. At least you're going to get an idea for you live what that looks like and whether it looks like it's going in a circle or not. So, and as far as the stars go, Wanda, you know, obviously the stars are going around. Here's the interesting thing is about the seasons, the times and seasons. You know, he set the sun and moon, you know, sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. And he set them for, you know, times and seasons, days and years. Well, the sun gives us the daily time, the hourly time during the day. And the moon gives us the time of the month. And the constellations, the stars, give us the times of the year, the seasons. And it's interesting. There's a real interesting thing. If you look at where the North Star and then the Big Dipper, the summer, fall, summer, spring, summer, winter, fall, whatever, spring, spring, summer, fall, winter, you know. The Big Dipper like forms a swastika, and it's like an ancient insignia or whatever, you know, it's a swastika. But it's basically that tells you which season you're in, where the Big Dipper is, at a certain time of the night, because the stars rotate around the Earth every day, but where it's at in the positioned in the sky, tells you what season it is. So, like I said, there's the idea of having a clock that tells you all three times, and there are clocks that do that. Sometimes they use three different clocks to do it, but there's clocks. There is a clock online, Sydney, Australia, that shows. It's on a flat Earth map, and it shows all of the. It shows all three in one clock. So anyway,
I remember.
Go ahead.
I remember when I was out working in the garden for years, and I would look up at the sun. And I got really good at telling really close to what time it was, whether it was 10 o'clock in the morning or noon or, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just if you look at that, even around the year, it changes the year round. But when you're out there, if you're looking at it quite often, You can get really good at finding out, you know, realizing what time of day it is.
Yeah. And the more we, you know, are aware, looking with our eyes and thinking about it, you know, the more things we're gonna observe and come to realize is the truth. So, but the thing about the sun that you're talking about going farther away and getting closer. There's I'll describe it. You know, there's a video of 24 hours of sunlight in Alaska. And in order to record this, they must have had it on a real slow motorized thing, whatever. But it follows the sun around. Because as you see the sun come up and go down, you see the terrain change. So it's from a place where they can see the sun. You know, sunlight 24 hours a day. It's when it's at the northern reaches of its circuit. But you see the terrain changing. In other words, the camera was moving around in a 360-degree arc to capture this video. Okay. Now, it might be hard to picture, and you might have to see, like, 3D modeling on a computer to see this, but if the Earth was spinning, if you can picture yourself standing north on a ball, or take a basketball and stick a little thing to it and have a flashlight aiming at it, okay? And then move the ball around in a circle. Take a spinning globe and stick a flashlight and stick a guy on it, you know? That'd be the good thing. Take something where you can spin it, okay? And look at make that spin. And the sun, number one, you would be looking away from it at one point. So what you would see would be the sun going to the right and then to the left, to the right and to the left, and the right and to the left. But that's not what you see. You know, you actually see the terrain changing. And then the interesting, too, is as the sun gets higher in the sky, it's getting bigger. And as it gets lower in the sky, it's getting smaller, bigger, smaller, as it's going around. So, and I don't know how many. I think it's just one 24-hour loop, but it's really fascinating because you see it going away and getting lower, getting smaller, coming back up, getting bigger, getting smaller, getting bigger. So it's a loop, you know. So anyway, that's that might be hard to conceptualize, but if you do some play with that, like James, that was great, you know, just take a flashlight and shine a 4-foot circle on the ground, you know, and actually if you move the light, you know, in that arc over it, then you'll get a really good idea instead of just pointing it, standing and just moving your wrist. But if you actually move it use your arm and move it in a 4-foot circle, you know, then you're down southern hemisphere, and then you bring it in tighter, and that's the equator, and then tighter yet, you know, 2-foot circle or whatever, then that would be the, you know, Tropic of Cancer up north here. So, yeah, that's a really good example. So,
Whip, any other questions?
It's exciting, you know, like I said, the whole Noah's Flood thing, that blows me away. Simple Science, Physics 101, flat plane, water seeks its own level, 10,000-foot wall around it. If that's the case, you know, I'm thinking it probably is. Pretty easy to flood a flat plane, flat earth. Because, you know, I've said this before, you know, I became a believer, and I was raised Catholic. I believed in evolution. And oh, evolution's not right. You're kidding me. Well, I believe the Bible. Noah's floods worldwide? Okay, I believe the Bible, but it never really made a hill of sense. Like, you know, how can you flood a globe? You know? That's a lot of water. Not with a 10,000-foot wall around a level flat plain. So, yeah, that makes some big differences. And like I said, I had kind of a different course in life than most other people because 40 years ago I listened to some tapes and understood it and believed in geocentricity, that the Earth was not moving in space. I understood the Michelson-Morley experiment. Okay, that's hogwash, you know, that whole theory of relativity. I have known that Einstein was a fraud for 40 years. And about 2006, I began to believe that the Earth was not rotating, spinning on its axis, rather. Yeah, rotating. So that's 10 years. 9 years before I started studying, heard about flat earth stuff. So I already had those two things already firmly locked into my mind. So flat earth wasn't that big of a jump for me in that sense, because I already knew that science was smoke and mirrors, and that the electric universe model was a lot closer to reality than the gravity malarkey that they feed us. And I'd already done a lot of research on that. So now we have the electric flat earth hypothesis instead of the electric universe hypothesis. But what I learned from the electric universe model was that's EUM for short, electric universe model, and that's a huge amount of scientists around the world. Real scientists, that's what I've said for almost 10 years, real scientists. I mean, electrical engineers, James McCanney guys, and real physicists, not Mickey Mouse, Disneyland, you know, NASA frauds and wizards and witches. You know, real scientists that have said to the worldwide scientific community, enough of your fantasy. You know, this is what you're telling people is not fact. It's not real. It has nothing to do with reality and has nothing to do with science. Stop it already. Of course, they haven't. But I already had that under my belt, you know, that much of it. So, but what I found out at that time was realizing that, hey, I grew up believing that the universe was 15 billion light years. It's huge and 15 billion years old and blah, 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 blah. And that's all based on Kabbalah. All Kabbalah numbers out of the Zohar and Kabbalah, occultic, you know, Illuminati, satanic, Masonic stuff from hell. That's where those numbers come from. So when I started studying the electric universe model in 2006, I knew that the universe, what does universe mean? One, universe, word, or does it mean turning? You know, my wife's a midwife. When the baby's upside down and they need to turn it, they do a version. So universe, one, turning. What a good description. It's one thing turning around the earth, period, end of story. And that's what we see with our eyes. We see the stars going around the Earth every day. We see the sun and the moon going around the Earth every day in the same arc and the same speed as the stars, roughly. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. That's what we see with our eyes. We just don't register it into our brain because we've been brainwashed. We've been, programmed. We've been indoctrinated. And it starts real early, and it takes a while to break that. So, we all grew up believing in the tooth fairy. And I wrote this week on, we all grew up believing in the tooth fairy. We grew up believing in Santa Claus, and we grew up believing in the Easter Bunny, and we found out as life went by, as life went on, we found out through whatever means, our older brother broke it to us, we saw mom and dad doing funny things before they put the presents out or whatever, the spell was broken and we stopped believing in Santa Claus, the bunny, and the tooth fairy. But the spinning globe was an even earlier indoctrination, just as much of an indoctrination, and we never got it broken because it was never intended to be broken. But it's being broken now. It's being, exposed. Toto pulled back the curtain. So, anyway, all righty. Any other thoughts, questions, or... anybody there? Is anybody out there? I want a YouTuber to make a video that's, I don't know who did the song, but... Because this is so true of all of these people on these comment sections and all these skeptics and whatever you want to call them, globe heads, spheroids, atheists. But they need to do a song on, they're only words, and words are all I have. Take your heart away, or steal your heart away, And earth and heart, take the T from the end of heart. Is that how it goes? Heart backwards, earth, heart, same thing. take the H from heart and put it to back. Yeah, and you have earth. Yeah, there it is. They're only words. That's all they've ever seen is words, mathematical formulas, physics, history. Eratosthenes proved that the earth was round. No, he didn't. The exact same thing he supposedly did, I don't think he could have, at a 400-mile distance, is also true with the local sun. Same deal. Same exact results. So, all righty. Anybody got any questions? Anybody out there?
I've got a totally off-topic question.
Good. Change of pace.
It's a hard left turn here. Do you know, is red cedar from Missouri, is it a hardwood or is it more of a softwood?
Is it what?
Is it a hardwood or a softwood?
Yeah, right. I heard that part. What kind of wood?
Oh, it's in like a red cedar from Missouri area.
Cedar is usually always red, if you're talking about the wood. It would be a softwood, I would say. Coniferous? It's like pine?
Kind of looks like a pine, sort of.
Huh?
Sort of looks like a pine, I guess.
Yeah, it's an evergreen. It's a coniferous. There's only two kinds, right? Deciduous leaves. Anyway, it's got needles. It's evergreen. It's green during the year, during the winter, which is really cool because it gives you some green things to look at during the winter. And it's something for the goats to eat, which is really nasty, but they do. One time my son let his goats go all winter long, and they ate some of the cedar trees and yucca plants, some really weird things. Anyway, it's a really neat, it's a really interesting wood because it has oils in it, of course, and so it's very very preservative. It doesn't rot real easy. Good for teepee poles. I didn't figure that out until a couple years ago. Good for cordwood, building cordwood houses. Obviously furniture smells great. So there's a can here that was built in the year 2000 or 2001. It was empty until it just sold about a year ago. It's been empty 15 years. Nothing touched. Paint wasn't stolen. It was fully furnished. Nice fixtures in it, nice lamps, nice everything. Nothing was ever touched, stolen, or nothing. just, you know, nice area to live in when you could leave a nice house empty for 15 years and have nothing stolen out of it. Anyway, it sold. But when I walked in that thing, I expected, this is Missouri, I mean, it's humid here, it's nasty. I expected yucky, moldy, musty, yuck, goo-goo, you know. I kind of wrinkled my nose even stepping in the place, and I stepped in, and I just took this big breath, and I was just like, oh, wow. You know, just like energy. It felt good. Yeah, cedar is really awesome for that. Wonderful smell and very, very preserving. So. Yeah, there's Amish out here that make furniture, they make cabins, they make, you know, you name it, everything under the sun out of cedar.
Mm-hmm.
Pioneer log cabins, pioneer log furniture, you know, they make it. Yeah, good, really neat wood. Really neat wood. Although people hate it, farmers hate it because it's sucks up a lot of water. And a lot of them, their favorite pastime is burning cedar trees, so. They suck water from their pasture and other stuff, but pretty cool tree. And they grow like weeds, so, you know, if you kill one, there's going to be five more. Beans, as it's Missouri, you know, Colorado, that wouldn't happen, but. Yep. What are you looking at, a property or something, or?
Oh, no, I've just got a little chunk of it. I'm trying to.
What's that?
I've just got a little chunk of it. I've got about 12 inches.
Mm.
I'm trying to cut it. I don't know if it's my saw blade or the wood. But
yeah. When we moved to Kansas, you know, we moved into the schoolhouse, and we were burning the wood that was there, you know, and we were burning it. One day I realized that we had been burning cedar. And being from Denver, the only cedar I ever saw was little teeny jewelry boxes for, you know, $50, $100. And, you know, walk-in cedar closets. If somebody was a multimillionaire, they could have cedar in their closet, you know. And I was horrified. Like, we had just been committing, you know, murder or sacrilege against the holy, you know, holy thing, you know. And then I come to find out they're just freaking weeds here, you know. It was funny.
Yeah.
I kid you not, I was horrified that we were burning cedar to stay warm, you know. Different world.
I understand there's quite a heat wave back there right now. Pretty warm.
Heat? Yeah. Yep, I got to spray my trailer down and cool it down a little bit. Yeah, about another 15 minutes and the moon will be right overhead. It's almost full. They appearing on Sabbath Tuesday. It was past a quarter moon on or half moon last week. So I know they've had their way they figure things, but I was just kind of curious if they feel like they're on. And of course, I know the 15th will be the telling day.
The evening of the 14th. Right, so Monday evening, well, I'm going to be out Sunday evening looking real hard at opposition. Get a time exact because where I live, right. I've got perfect flat view all the way to the east and all the way to the west.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me?
No, unobstructed.
Wow. Boy, you should do some video on that. Like, you got time to do that, but, you know, boy. Like, I'd like to see us. You can see the sun to what, over the ocean?
Just about. There is a little mountain range between me and the ocean.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't see the ocean. But,
yeah.
But the mountain range is probably 100 miles away. So
okay, so we're talking about earlier. From where the sun comes up and where the sun goes down, you'd have an idea on that, where it shows first?
Oh, yeah, it moves around. I don't know. No, I don't have exact degrees.
My problem has always been getting up early enough to see the sunlight before it's noon, you know. So I got up too late this morning. I mean, I got up early for me, real early for me, but my gosh, I think I burned 2 hours of sunlight. I could get up at probably five. Get, you know, I got up to do weed whacking, you know, and I got a lot to do, so I just can't stay up doing stuff all night and then try to get out in the heat. It would kill me, literally.
Yeah.
So I've got to change my schedule here for the next few days, at least a day at a time or 2 days at a time, and that's going to be off and on, you know, and it's not going to, I don't know, anyway.
Well, my schedule is so flipped in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot be outside in this heat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been very hot, 100, right, I don't know, 90-something. It's been hot. Not as hot as I've been in other places, and but I'm not as young as I was, and I'm not as good a shape as I was, and blah, 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 you know, so I need to be careful. If I pass out, I may not wake up, you know. So, but I'll say one thing right now, the moon, it's kind of a, not black, but deep, dark gray sky. And all the spots on the moon are deep, dark gray, exactly the same color as
behind.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking at, too.
Yeah, either behind or in front of
it. It's just kind of light gray here, light, or maybe it's a strange grayish blue. But, yeah, the face on the moon is, like, the same color.
You can see it? You can see it now?
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
So what angle does it look like it's at?
About 45 degrees.
Yeah, see? Yeah, you're about... Yep. See, you're a couple hours away from me, you know. Yeah, 2 hours away. So, yeah, that's about right. It's almost in another, like I said, 15, 20 minutes. It should be as high as it's going to be. It'll be noon. What do you call that? You know, midnight, moon night,
12 o'clock position.
Yeah, yeah.
the halfway between the horizons.
Yeah,
right, is 12 o'clock position.
Yeah.
That's about well, for you.
Good deal.
And then, like, there's the 9 o'clock position and there's the 3 o'clock position. But
right.
But that's...
So right now to you, it's 3 o'clock? No, 9 o'clock.
Well, no. Okay, well, if 9 o'clock is Eastern Horizon...
Right, right.
And then 12 o'clock is straight overhead. I'd say it is what, 10:30. It's at the 45 degree angle. It's halfway between the horizon and the 12 o'clock.
Right. Would it not be up from the time it rises at Eastern Horizon horizontal? That when if it's at overhead, you call that the 12 o'clock position, would it not be 6 o'clock when it would come up?
Oh, yeah, 6 o'clock. Yeah, okay.
Okay, okay. So you got 6 would be horizontal, and 3 o'clock, 45 degree angle.
Wait, we're getting all screwed up.
12 o'clock, and then where do you go from there? You know, to 15 o'clock, 18 o'clock?
All right, we're getting all screwed up here. Are we still on recording?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we better get it straightened out. If we're still on recording, let's not shut it off yet. Let's figure out what clock we're using here.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you go with military, 24-hour?
No, I was looking at a 12-hour clock.
Right. Well, I mean, if we're going to call 12 the, whatever you call it, midnight or midday, noonish, whatever, the 12, if 12 is straight up, then you've got 6 hours before that and 6 hours after that, right? 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of night.
Well,
is that the same case?
Okay, there's a couple different ways of looking at that. Okay, so if the 12 o'clock position is straight overhead, halfway between the horizons,
right?
And the one horizon is is the 9 o'clock and the other is 3 o'clock, then directly down would be 6 o'clock, right? It would be
directly
opposite of 12. If you're going all the way around, right?
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
The eastern horizon would be 9. The western horizon would be 3, correct? If you're using a clock face.
I don't think so. I mean,
yeah. If
you're
got
talking...
12 o'clock, if your 12 o'clock position is straight overhead.
Yeah.
And you're looking at it. Well, I'm looking at to the south.
Your 3 hours either way would be 45 degree angle. In other words, nine would be the 45 to the east, and then 12
would be
90
to the
45 to the west. Six would be setting. And
no, not on a 12-hour phase. Not on the face of a clock.
Oh, we're not, okay. You're doing 12, not okay. You're 12, not 24. Okay, that's 24 out of my head there. Okay, well, you know what? It's been so long since I've seen a face of a clock that I can. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can pull one up here. I don't even have one on my phone. Yeah. Okay, I got you. Okay. Yeah, 12 hours. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Right. Okay. So the 12 o'clock position would be straight overhead.
Yeah.
6 o'clock would be straight below.
Right.
The 3 o'clock looking south would be to the west, and the 9 o'clock would be to the east. Anyway, so see the time of the evening, morning and evening sacrifice.
Right.
Was like around 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock, right? 9 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the evening.
Okay.
In biblical time. And so that is about 45 degrees on the...
Right.
As far as the moon and sun are concerned. Anyway.
Yeah. So again, you know, you could do the Pythagorean theorem on the moon, too. You know, like right now it is 10 o'clock at 10, and not moving very fast, let's say 10:30, my time, central time, it'll be at the 12 o'clock position. So by the time it's, watch for that tonight, just, you're not going to be up that long, but, so in central.
I'm sure I will be.
What's that?
I'm sure I will be.
Oh, okay. Well, about 12:30.
It should be at the 12 o'clock position.
About 10:30 your time, it should be directly overhead. Whatever time it is overhead for me, it'll be about overhead for you. So again, we're, you know, we could do the Pythagorean theorem, and you know, this is the angle, 45 degree angle. It'll be a 45 degree angle for me 2 hours from now. I could measure that. I have a quick angle in there. Measure it. Boom. Sight it, you know, level it and sight it, take a sighting on it and say, okay, yes, it's 45 degree right now. Is it directly overhead for you? Yes. You know, we're X number of 1,000 miles away. Measuring the distance to the moon from your place to the moon would be the same as from me to you. But we're not quite that far away. We're not quite far enough away. I'm in central time. If I was on the East Coast, it would work. But the same thing applies.
We can still apply it.
What's that?
We could still apply it. I think we could still use it.
Yeah.
Now that, okay, so we would want to use a level and a compass and a degree wheel, right?
Yeah. Hey, that video, I saw a video of a sundial in India, and it tells the time down to the minute.
Oh, with that really wild hair?
It's a big, on a wall, it's carved into a wall. It's a vertical wheel on a wall.
Yeah. I think I don't know if I sent that out to you. But
oh, maybe you did. I don't know.
I sent it
and then they say that there's moon dials. It ain't going anywhere. I don't know how they did that. Oh, and since we're recording, I want to make another point. The Ed Lederskin, Pearl Castle, is that in Florida? Somewhere down there? You know, he built this gigantic castle, little skinny guy, 5 foot tall, 90 pounds, somehow used the energy, anti-free, you know, gravity-free or whatever to build this thing. But he has this big, huge rock that he put into place by himself. I mean, it must weigh like 8, 9, 10 tons. There's a hole bored through it. There's wire crosshairs in it, and it looks like the hole is maybe 6 inches in diameter. And then there's another hole, kind of a little pyramidal-shaped hole or something, just a stone, I mean a hole, a stone with a hole, about a one-inch hole, maybe less than that, maybe three-quarter-inch hole drilled through it. So you can look through that little teeny-tiny hole through the crosshair and see the North Star. And it was built years ago. And if the Earth was zooming around the sun, this could not happen. And if the sun was traveling around, the solar system was traveling through the galaxy and the galaxy is traveling through the universe, it don't add up, because that little sighting thing built 30, 40, 50 years ago still works. Still points directly at the North Star. Ooh. Wow, awesome.
And I wish I could get a picture of what I'm holding in my hand right now and make sense of it. I could try taking a picture of it, but I'm holding a level with a degree wheel behind it, and I'm sighting at the moon, and it is exactly 45 degrees right now, off level.
Really? Okay. See, now I have a thing called a quick angle. Now, if I could find my a level. Bill's got a four-foot level.
That's what I was playing around with. I was digging a level out.
Yeah. If I could find a torpedo level, which I have somewhere, but I don't know where. Actually, I might have one in my toolkit here. Yeah, I could level that, and then, at 12:30 my time, it should be about over you. And I could check the, well, I won't be able to see it, probably. I might be. I think I still can. There's trees to the west of me, but they're about 300 feet away and about 30 feet high. So I think I could do a 45 degree. I got to get a flashlight and see if I can find my torpedo level, because I know where my quick angle is. And that would work. So anyway, those are a couple of interesting deals, yeah. So still got to figure out how to use these sundials.
I got a question.
I got proof. Yeah. Glutton for punishment.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know anyone else was still on.
Yeah. This is
dribble.
This is Kano. He was the moderator Sunday night. He had me on for 3 hours and 15 minutes. Most of it was me talking. It was like my voice was about shot. Go ahead, Kano.
A lot of people who are quote unquote Christians claim that astrology is devil worship. But, you were talking earlier, I got a phone call, so I clicked out. Well, first time I lost signal. Second time I clicked out because I had a phone call. But anyways, in the Bible where it does talk about astrology, like the three wise men and the end times, it says that the end times is going to be in the age of Aquarius. It says it in the Bible. Okay. So,
it says what now? What did it say?
Oh, it basically talks about the end times being in the age of Aquarius, which is where we are right now, in the age of Aquarius. It's in
where's that? I don't remember recalling that in scripture of Age of Aquarius.
I will have to go find it and get back to you on that.
Yeah.
Because I
there may be allusions to it. I will say this, Kato. The there's a guy E.W. Bullinger. He's got a study Bible, and he's got a book called Numbers in Scripture, and he's got one called Gospel of the Stars, the Witness of the Stars. You know, he's got one on I wouldn't call astrology, but on the astronomy, constellations, and whatnot, and the fact that the constellations are referenced many times in Scripture, like Job that I was talking about. Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you loose the cords of Orion? You know, can you lead the Mazur off of the bear forth with her cubs? You know, there's a lot of references to them, and you know, there are definitely purposes there. You know, it says in Genesis that he put the stars there for sun, the moon, and stars for, as I said earlier, times and seasons, days and years. And the stars indicator for seasons, and I believe there are a lot of meaning there. A fascinating study is by a guy. There's a couple different videos on it, but I can't remember the guy's name. The Star That Astonished the World, and it talks about the date that the crown was over, you know, Regulus and. Da, 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 you know, but in other words, about the time that Christ was born, the date that Christ was born, 9/11.
Kano, I apologize for jumping off the course. I'll mute out and listen. I'd like to hear what you got.
Yeah.
Kano is studying this and looking at it. So, you know, he's coming at it from a, you know, not our, you know, whatever, you know, like not like everybody's the same anyway. But, you know, he's, yeah, it's just...
Different flack.
But anyway,
Age of Aquarius. That's another thing. Jesus was not a Capricorn. He was a Libra. He was born in September, not in freaking December. And I keep trying to get that through to people, and they don't get it. But
say that again. I'm missing that.
Capricorn. You know, Jesus was not a Capricorn. He was a Libra. He was born in September, not December.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you got that much. That's cool.
Yeah,
and true story, you know. I mean, those. There's two videos on that, and, yeah, they've nailed it. I mean, this guy, the Jupiter precesses something, and it actually reverses, and it, you know, the woman with the stars and the, you know, dragging at her feet. Yeah, those are all astrological signs. Now, the difference that I would say, and this is just me and most, what you're alluding to, most Christians, that there's a lot of messages. There's a lot of meaning in the constellations, no question. But the process or the practice of trying to foretell the future or trying to prognosticate the future, that's what, you know, I would say would be frowned upon or whatever, in Scripture and from you know, the Old Testament. So they're there for a reason. There's a lot of information there that we, you know, are pretty ignorant of. You know, the wise men came from the East. they knew a lot of stuff that other people didn't know. So.
Right.
They weren't dummies. They were wise men, and they came there because they knew that, you know, something really, really different had happened. So, but that would be the difference that I would say is, you know, no question. I mean, this book by Bullinger is like two or three inches thick. I mean, it's probably 1,500 pages. I don't know, at a guess. And they're available. I heard that his stuff's available online in PDF, so you might look at that one. I don't think it's Gospel of the Stars. I think it's The Witness of the Stars is the title of it. But E.W. Bullinger. And here's an interesting thing. Lori, a friend of mine here, Bill and Shirley and their mom Lola have a Bullinger Bible. Lori's read the Bullinger Bible for years. But Bullinger was a heck of a scholar. But I just heard recently that he in the face of science and everything else, he held to flat Earth. That's what I've heard. Now, I haven't verified that yet, but I've heard that he held to flat Earth. In fact, there's a whole YouTube series slamming him for it. Taking him to task or whatever, you know. It's called Zetetic Astronomy and Bollinger or something. I saw 13 videos by some lady, some girl or something, I don't know. Whatever you want to call her. Anyway, yeah, that's a whole question thing. But there's definitely, we can know a lot. Of course, hey, the wise men were kind of telling the future, weren't they? I don't know.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I tell people it's like a gun. Guns don't cause crime, people do. So it's like, astrology is not evil. It's like a gun. It's like, it's a tool. You're supposed to, if you use it for good and you're using it properly, then there's nothing devil worship about it. If you're using it improperly, then yes, it would be evil.
Yeah.
So you were talking about the North Star and how it doesn't change. You know, maybe that whole, it's devil worship thing is to keep us from looking at the stars so that we don't know the truth. No. Because like you said, it doesn't move, it doesn't change. If we're going around the sun at so many miles per hour and so are all these other constellations and whatnot, you know, if we think it's evil to look at the stars and study them, then we're not going to know these things.
Yeah. Well, I'll come back to one thing that I quoted 150, 200 times. It says where Jesus said the children of darkness are often wiser than the children of light, and whether that's in the area of health or science or a lot of things, that's true in a lot of cases because a lot of people have their heads firmly stuck in the sand or in more inaccessible regions of their anatomy, you know. And don't want to pull it out, you know. So
it's been a waste of time, I guess.
Okay, energy, frequency, healing, a lot of things like that. You know, there's some good stuff out there. Just because a New Ager discovered it doesn't mean that it's a New Age,
right?
You know, thing.
Well, and it's been that way since the beginning of time. You said the children of darkness are wiser than the children of the light. I mean, Adam and Eve, they were obviously stupid because they got fooled into eating the forbidden fruit. Or maybe not stupid, but naive.
Okay. He's talking about the forbidden, you know, Adam and Eve?
Well, yeah. Well, okay. You just said that the children of darkness have more wisdom than the children of the light.
Right.
And it seems it's been that way since the beginning of time because
Adam and Eve were
foolish.
Oh, you're Lucifer of darkness, yeah, deceived, yeah, I gotcha. Convinced or beguiled Eve, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it on a day-to-day, year-to-year. I've just seen it many, many times where, you know, somebody says, oh, that's terrible. And I'll tell you what, we were at David Ray and I were at what the heck was it? A well-fed neighbor offshoot, Kansas. What do they call it? The Farm Restoration Congress in Kansas City.
Oh, Farmers Restoration. Yeah.
Now David Ray was there, but Thomas and I were out at the campfire with these pagans, you know, hard drinking, hard cussing, you know, and Thomas, of course, he makes his own wine, so, you know, he fit right in. And we had a good time. And when it came time to leave, I mean, I thought we had a good testimony, quote unquote, just because we related to him. But the lady told me, he says, and it's a guy I know that lives spitting distance from me here, told her, he said, well, I have a large pile of wood in my front yard for you. Meaning,
yeah,
I would like to burn you at the stake. Basically. Yeah. So she didn't like him.
I would actually kind of respect that from Brother Thomas from the, some of the things that I've heard. Cause he
yeah,
like
no, he it was pretty surprising. I mean, we hit it off good. I mean, it was the, I don't know, the time, the setting, whatever. And it had nothing to do with astrology. It was just, you know, getting together and, you know, shooting the breeze and having enough things in common that we didn't have to make divisions. Oh, I don't want to hang in with you because you're, you know,
heathen.
Weird, you know.
You're
but
a heathen.
Anyway, had a campfire going, and it was pretty cool. Meet people. I mean, I liked them, you know. And when we came down to leave, this gal, you know, gave me a good hug, and, you know, they were just, but all, we were like the only, there's one other couple there that showed up for a while. Anyway, you know, Bud and Carol came in for a little while on a Sunday, but, you know, everybody there was like, you know, I mean, they were out there, but it was kind of fun. It was interesting. And we didn't immediately and completely alienate them. Far from it, you know, so it seemed to be a good, I went down, David Ray, when I went down on a wild food walk to one of their places, a farm. Oh, man, what a place. But this lady, the gal, Matt and Kelly, I told her about being at this conference and how I was the only person there, only two, like my partner and I were the only two believers, Christians, whatever you want to call it there. But I had asked, because this was a Russian physicist who developed a really interesting energy testing device, and I said, well, have you tested the dolmens in Russia? Kind of a long story, I'll shorten it. And I got a blank look from him, and, you know, and he'd been to Ireland and tested dolmens in Ireland, but not these weird dolmens in Russia. And so I looked around, and I was like, has anybody here read the Ringing Cedars of Russia? And this one lady's head whipped around, and the guy whose facility was at, I found out later, had read two of the books. This lady had read five of the books, and I'd read all nine of the books. And I'm like, so I was talking about that to Kelly, some of the compadres from the Food Restoration Congress, Farmer Settlement Congress. And I said that was just weird. Here I am, a Christian, quote unquote, and I'm the only one that's read these, what I would have thought every single person in the room would have read these books. And she said this, she said, Jerry, it's always going to be like that.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask her what the hell she meant by that. But it was really cool. They had a stream running, I mean, a 50-foot wide, foot-deep river running through their place, running right by on the border of their place. It was cool. Well, I got out there. I laid flat down in that. And David Ray got a big rock and put it there, and the water was shooting over it, and I saw this big bubble, so I stuck my head inside the bubble. So my head is completely underwater, quote unquote, but I'm inside this oxygen bubble inside, basically on this downstream side of this rock, and I'm talking, you know. It was awesome. But anyway, I was the only one that did weird things, like I'd just go up by myself and lay down in the stream and whatnot. And she said, I love Jerry more than anybody else in the world. You know, he went down there in that stream. He's so cool, you know. It was fun. We camped out and he had a pretty good wild food walk. The place is wild. Wild, man. And Andre, a bunch of interesting people, a whole group of people that are just like way on a different page than me. But, you know, we hit it off with a lot of, I went to the Oak Congress, Ozark Area Community Congress, first time I've ever been to one, the 36th annual one. And I got a chance to talk to a lady there, Nora. And I had a chance to really, I'm not even going to go into it, but a really weird way of talking to her about the Bible and the women in the Bible and this and that. And come to find out at the closing ceremony, and they said, so you're the only surviving descendant of Crowley? And she goes, no, there's two others. So, Aleister Crowley's granddaughter or whatever, you know. High Church of Satan, you know, type thing.
Right.
I thought, oh, that was interesting, you know. But I had, you know, good enough rapport with her that I was able to talk to her and encourage her. And, you know, it's about basically about Christianity. I said, hey, look, you know, a lot of people in churches are phony, and, you know, you've been through life, you've lived a real life, and, you know, you're
you're not you, what you are wouldn't be condemned in Scripture, you know. I mean, not I didn't know she was any of that, but other things, you know, just her, the rough life she lived. But it was interesting. She had a little 10-year-old girl there, and did she go play with the other kids? Go play with the teenagers, you know, the 14, 15, 16-year-olds. She goes, I don't want to hang around with little kids, you know, immature little brats. So they homeschool her, and but you know, did a good job. She felt like she was far too mature to play with those stupid teenagers. Pretty interesting.
That's funny.
But I try to get along with people without, you know, alienating them too soon, too rapidly.
I tend to not discriminate against those who don't discriminate against me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't start by saying, hey, I got a big pile of wood and I'd like to use on you, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that didn't win too many points for Christianity there, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Jesus said to love thy neighbor. He said those are the first two commandments. Love God and love thy neighbor, and the rest shall follow.
Yeah. Well, where are those that condemn you, woman? They're not here. Well, neither do I, you know, go and sin no more. But he didn't condemn her. He could have thrown the first stone because he, you know, whoever's without one of them.
No, not really.
Huh?
Not really. Not according to, well, because where was the man? You don't commit adultery alone.
Well, yeah.
You know, and so, and the law, I mean, it says, you know, to bring them both before.
Well, their story was that she was caught in the very act.
Right.
That she was busted.
She can't be caught alone.
What's that? But he wasn't there? Whatever.
And she can't be caught alone, you know?
Right. It said that she was caught. Anyway, my point was that he was without sin, and he could have, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he was not condemning. He was forgiving. And that's more, that we forget that far too easy. I mean, people on these groups, I mean, these comment sections, oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're going to go to hell. You know, well, yeah, he just made a good friend there for life. You know, we could be a little bit more forgiving and understanding and less judgmental sometimes. Anyway. Well, all right. Somebody else ding in?
Oh, that was me just coming back.
Okay.
Three of us.
What was your name, Cody, or no?
Kano, like Cain and Abel with an O.
Kano, yeah, Kano. Have you shared yet? Because I jumped off for just a minute. Have you got to share yet what I kind of cut you off of? Because I wanted to hear what you had. I apologize. You were going on Aquarius, and I asked, where is that in Scripture? And I kind of threw the conversation off, and I apologize for that. I'd like to hear what you got.
Oh, I have to look it up. I don't have it handy.
No. That's all right. You don't need to at this point. I thought you were going somewhere with the thought.
What was your question? Yeah, he's asking what was your question.
Where I was going with that was, you know, he was talking about the North Star. When you look through the, call it, the North Star stays in its place. And there's other, and there's, besides that one, scripture that I've seen in the Bible. There's other scriptures in the Bible where it talks about astrology and very elaborate on that as well, that there are other scriptures that talk about astrology in the Bible. Astrology is a blanket term for astronomy and et cetera. But anyhow, people are saying, especially churches, oh, that's devil worship. You shouldn't study that. That's evil. But it's in the Bible, for one. And then my other thing was, you know, if maybe, you know, because a lot of these churches, you know, they're 401c3s or 501c3s, you know, they're being pretty much controlled and manipulated by the New World Order. A lot of them don't have it right. You know, a lot of them are preaching false doctrine. And my theory is that is just another thing that the New World Order doesn't want us to know about, because if we do study astrology, we're going to learn truths, like the fact that what he was talking about before, where the North Star never moves. Why? Well, we're not supposed to, we're not supposed to do our homework.
Yeah.
We're not supposed
oh, yeah.
to think, period. I mean, you know, you think about it. I mean, the scenario that they put forth of this Big Bang and everything is expanding out at billions of light or miles per hour, whatever, you know, everything is expanding out. And yet the constellations and everything are still, after hundreds of years, the constellations are still in their same size and positions, year after year after year. Now, if it was expanding out, as the theory goes, they would not be holding their same position and size.
Right. Well, I mean, are you done? James,
yeah,
are you? Okay. I mean, I think what Chano's saying is, you know, looking at, I mean, just studying, let's say you're studying astrology, you know, they are, someone who's doing that is going to be far more aware of the positions of the constellations and the time and whatever it is and the seasons and whatnot. And I'm not saying that to do it for, like I said, prognosticating the future, but they're definitely going to be more aware of stuff. Absolutely, no question. So I think that's where the point is. They want us ignorant of that. Churches, 501c3 churches, are going to say, well, we've heard this for years. I mean, we've put up with this crap.
Oh, yeah.
People like that, homeopathics is of the devil, and, you know, frequency is of the devil in this new age. I mean, I went to a meeting for the second meeting we had, the first one called The Gathering, because it was for developing refuges and stuff in the Ozark Plateau. And the second one, this guy had the whole thing planned to just blow the crap out of the whole operation. But one of the things that came out was that they accused me of being new agey and being demon-possessed and whatnot, because I talked about the earth frequency and the human resonance and circadian rhythm or whatever the heck it was. Well, turns out that the guy who accused me of being demon-possessed and, you know, was a false prophet creep, and the guy running the thing later admitted, but long and short of it was that had he listened to me, and I talked about the heart rhythm, HRV, it's the gold standard of medical testing for heart variability monitor, you know, heart rate variability, HRV, yeah, heart rate variability. His wife might still be alive, and he loved her, but she died of a massive myocardial infarction because her heart was in bad shape, and had he listened and tested it, you know, she probably would still be alive. So, you know, children of darkness, children of, you know, whatever. So, bunny trail.
I don't know that much about astronomy. I've heard this, though. The difference between astrology and astronomy is astrology.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard this, and I don't know much about it. But astrology uses the constellations that are out during the daytime, and astronomy is the study of the constellations as they appear at night.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah.
I never heard that. I've never heard that. Anyway, I would recommend to them check out Bollinger's stuff. And there's also another guy named Seiss. And I know there's a book called The Gospel in the Stars. And I think that's Seuss or Sars. Seuss? Seuss. It's like Dr. Seuss, I think. Might be Seiss. But Bollinger, his work is called The Witness of the Stars. And it's a big book. And he was a heck of a scholar. And if it's free online, that's something I'd say, hey, grab it and download it and take a look at it. It might, you know, might answer some of your questions. So.
Yeah.
I really like is the Atlantean Conspiracy, 200 Proofs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not 200 Proofs.
Yeah, I really like him. He is so articulate, so reasoned, so calm as he reads his, you know, his stuff.
I haven't heard any of his, but I read that 200 Proofs, and that's like, wow, that's where I'm sending people. Check that out.
Yeah.
And then just check
yeah.
this out.
It is really good stuff.
Read it through. Think about it.
What's that?
Yeah, just read it through. Think about it and get back with me. You know?
Do what? Sorry.
I've just invited several people to take a look at it, read through it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And get back with me on it. You know? What do you
right.
think?
Yeah. Yeah, just ask people's opinion, yeah. And it's on video, too. You know, you can watch it, you know. It's the same film, you know. Just I don't know if he reads it or if it's just the text, but they can watch it as a video, read it out on video, too. So, yeah. Yeah, he's really good. I've a lot of, there's all kinds of infighting and arguments, all kinds of junk going on about the whole, you know, between the whole Flat Earth movement. You know, government agents and disinfo and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, Eric today has been one of the, you know, steadiest and, you know, I think one of the best presenters out there. No question, you know, bar none, especially when it comes to just reading this stuff, you know. And he's into Tai Chi or yoga and, you know, martial arts, and he lives in Thailand, and he might be a three-quarter Buddhist or something, but I'm here to tell you, he can give a better reason than articulate and accurate presentation of the flat earth and the reasons for it and the fact that they're hiding God and hiding the Bible and, you know, hiding the truth than a Christian could. So, so yeah, I like him a lot. You know, he's half crazy and all, but maybe...
I sent you a couple pictures, Jerry, on the level and degree with it I'm using.
Okay.
If you can open your email, you can take a look at it.
All righty. Yeah, I actually just got my, I got a flashlight, I got my tool bag out, and I don't see a level in there, but I can pretty well, yeah, I got a pretty good
idea. All right. I just thought I had these two things handy.
Let me look at it once more.
Yeah.
I think about another 10 minutes and it'll be vertical.
This is this degree wheel I've got. It's really cool. It's a Martin, Johnson Martin Incorporated and a Triumph timing disc.
What is it? Say it again.
I'll have to take another picture of it just of this wheel. The timing disc for an old Triumph. You can use it on a Norton also, Norton or Triumph motorcycle.
Are you saying Norton or Morton?
Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N.
Okay, this is your wheel?
Yeah. It's a Norton
wheel.
Or Triumph. Timing disc.
You know what I would love?
Okay, it's been over 3 hours, so I'm concluding the DD&D podcast. And, So, Flat Earth Friday, I'll be doing that for a couple weeks. I'll be home the first week of July, and so I probably won't be doing a podcast that week. But, you know, you can catch us thereafter. So, Flat Earth Friday, at least until the 1st of July. Let me look at the calendar here. Friday. Oh, okay. The 1st of July is a Friday. So, I may do another one then. If I'm home, probably not. If I'm not home, probably. Jerry Diamond does his Flat Earth Friday podcast every Friday, as far as I know. So you can always call it if you want to know more about Flat Earth. I'm not necessarily a believer in Flat Earth. It's interesting. And we should do our homework to make sure that, you know, people aren't lying to us. You know, it's kind of like where I started my podcast, talking about relationships. You know, this girl that I've known and liked for a year and a half, she was making me believe in the beginning that she was single. And then I started digging, and then she was like, oh, I'm in a relationship, but I'm on the way out. And I dug some more and found out the guy was decent and she was giving up on him too early and whatever, you know. She wasn't being honest with me about her situation. And I had to do my homework to find out what was really going on. Should I have? I probably should have just ran the moment that I found out that she was in a relationship. But, you know, I like to know things. You know, it's like when my last wife was cheating on me, I went and did my homework, you know, but she lied to me about a lot of things. So I was used to her lying to me, so I was used to having to do my homework on her. But we should always do our homework. I mean, the New World Order and these powers to be are constantly lying to us about things. Like you heard in a podcast, I was talking about Jesus' birthday. He was not born in December. I can't understand why people don't get that. I mean, if you look at astrology, in the Bible, the Bible talks twice about Jesus' birth. Using astrology, the wise men used astrology to locate Jesus after his birth. They knew when he was going to be born. They knew where he was going to be born using astrology. Of course, I think angels came to them also. But people knew that the Messiah was going to come through prophecy. Now, Jerry Diamond was saying, well, you're not supposed to use astrology for prophecy. They were doing it in the Bible. Whether it was good or evil, I don't know. They were doing it in the Bible. You know, they're talking about the end times, being in the age of Aquarius. It's in the Bible. Like I said, I don't have the scriptures handy. I need to, you know, I'll have to look that up. But it's in the Bible, okay? That is predicting the future. It's prophecy using astrology, okay? Now, the age of Aquarius is approximately 25,000 years long. So, 25,000? Yeah, about 25,000 years. So, it's like the Bible says, you will not know the day nor the hour, but you'll know the times. We're in the times. According to astrology, we're in the age of Aquarius. According to astrology, we are in the galactic equator. Now, this kind of doesn't relate with the flat Earth thing, because the flat Earth thing says that we're stationary, we're not moving. We're like on a table or something, and everything's moving around us. So we can't be going through a galactic equator. But according to astrology, we're going through the galactic equator, from what I understand. Well, halfway through this galactic equator, at about 13,000 years, it's going to be total chaos, total destruction. All right? Well, it's going to start in about 1,000, I mean, in about 500 or so years. I mean, it's already starting, but, I mean, we're really going to notice it in about 500 years. We're not going to be around to see that, but our ancestors, or not our ancestors, but, you know, our offspring's offspring will see that, perhaps, or their offspring's offspring. But anyways, the Bible says that the devil will reign for 1,000 years or whatever. Okay, it's going to be hell on earth for 1,000 years while we're passing through this galactic equator. Once we get to the other side and things mellow out, the Bible says God will create a new heaven on earth. And it will be just like Adam and Eve all over again. you know, we're going to be starting fresh. And we supposedly did this during the age of Leo. And if you follow the timeline in the Bible, it pretty much lines up with the timeline of astrology. Adam and Eve was at the end of the age of Leo, and we passed through the different ages going into, leading up to the age of Aquarius. And only it goes backwards. The ages go backwards. You know, we were in the age of Pisces, which is after the age of Aquarius, when you're doing normal astrology. So the ages move backwards. When you normally you're doing astrology, it goes the other way. Age of Aquarius, then the age of Pisces, or Aquarius comes before Pisces. Pisces is the 12th sign of the zodiac. Aquarius is the 11th. Well, when we're talking about ages, we're going backwards. So, nonetheless, there's a lot of things in the Bible that prove astrology to be accurate. There's a lot of things in astrology to prove the Bible to be accurate. And there was someplace else I was going to go with that. But I don't know if the Bible proves whether or not the earth is flat, but if the Bible is talking about astrology and astrology is, you know, backing up the Bible, but astrology doesn't back up flat earth, then, you know, you got to cross-analyze all these things and see how they all match each other, because supposedly the Bible backs up hollow earth, but hollow earth contradicts flat earth. And if the Bible's backing up hollow earth and it's backing up flat earth, how does that work unless they're both in different parallel dimensions? You know, which I don't understand parallel dimensions, but then we would go thinking about cubed earth where there's four dimensions in our universe. You know, we're in one dimension. Maybe our dimension is a flat earth. Maybe the next dimension is hollow earth. Who knows? I don't have a clue. What does it all mean? How does it affect me? Who cares, right? Okay, well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, really, it doesn't really make any difference to me either. Whether the earth is round, flat, or whatever, it doesn't really affect my day-to-day life. But I like to know, you know. I don't like to be lied to. I don't like to be left in the dark. I like to know things. And when someone presents something that has tangible evidence, or supposedly has tangible evidence, I'm going to look into it. And so that's what we do, David, David, and David. We analyze, we study things. Although David Irish isn't here anymore, I guess he gave up on us. But David Ray and I, you know, that's what we do. We like to analyze things. We like to study things and cross, you know, dissect it. And see how it ticks. Take it apart and see how it works. But, you know, that's why people think we're smart. Of course, other people think we're stupid. So, who knows? But, yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look more into it. If the North Star's not changing, well, that means that, you know, this intricate solar system that we live in, believing in a round earth theory, and all the things that we grew up to believe is true. I remember where I was going with that. Okay, so the round earth theory, the regular round earth theory, you know, if the earth is moving around the sun at so much speed, and so are the other things, and they're all working together simultaneously in a grand plan working together. If the North Star is designed by God to rotate in a fashion around whatever it is that it's rotating around to be in sequence with the Earth at all times, well, if an all-powerful, all-knowing God is able to do such a thing, wouldn't he be doing it? I don't know. I don't necessarily think that he's all-knowing or all-perfect, and people are, like, freaked out when I say that, because I'm like, well, oh, hey, if we're created in God's image, one, we wouldn't have been stupid enough to eat the forbidden fruit. Okay. Two, God's perfect, all-knowing, and all-seeing, and all-wonderful, and all this good, grand, wonderful, blah, blah, blah. We would not be as screwed up as we are. So I seriously doubt that we're created in God's image, or that God is perfect. And if God is perfect, he wouldn't have made the mistake of creating us to where we're going to make mistakes repeatedly, you know. I mean, we're like one mistake after another. Why would God make that mistake? If God's perfect. If God's perfect, he don't make mistakes. Then that means he did all this on purpose. And that means he has a horrible sense of humor. Or he's vindictive or something, you know. He's not vindictive, what's the word? He's a masochist. I don't think God's a masochist. But then other people might say, well, there's more than one God. Maybe the God that created us, you know, planned for us to be perfect, and then another God came and screwed everything up, which that's where Lucifer comes in. But if he was all perfect and all-knowing, then he would have perceived that, and he would have had a counter, you know, plan. And, of course, then people say, well, that's where Jesus comes in. And all this stuff. But you think if he was all-knowing and all-powerful, he would have had a counter plan before they screwed up, not after. But it's whatever. So I don't think he's all-perfect and all-knowing. But I think he's more perfect and more knowing. He's not all-perfect and all-knowing. But that's my opinion. You know what they say about opinions. They're like rear ends. Everybody's got them. Most of them stink. So, but back to where I was going with the concept is, you know, school, New World Order. They're constantly teaching us things like when Jesus was born. Jesus was not born in December. He was born in September. The Bible talks about that. Not just with astrology, but the Bible talks about it with John the Baptist. Jesus was 6 months younger than John the Baptist. The Bible specifically talks about when John the Baptist was born. So, using astrology and using John the Baptist's birthday, knowing that Jesus was 6 months younger than John the Baptist, bam, do the math. It's easy. Leaving astrology out, you can still do the math just by using John the Baptist's birthday. So, there's one lie. How many other lies have they told us? The Civil War, that's another lie. Vietnam, that's another lie. Afghanistan, Middle East, another lie. 9/11, another lie. Waco, another lie. How many lies? There's more. I just can't remember any of them off the top of my head right now. Native Americans, you know, there's some truth and some lie to the stories in the history of what happened with the Native Americans. So you'll have to decipher with that one what's truth and what's lie, because there's a lot of lies wrapped up in a lot of truths. Kind of like the Civil War. Civil War was not fought over slavery. Slavery was a side effect. What else? Can't think of anything right now off the top of my head. So, lies. We're surrounded by lies and liars. We grew up being brainwashed. We grew up being taught things that weren't true. constantly being surrounded and bombarded by lies and liars. And it's our job to do the homework. Like Jerry said, don't just dismiss and don't just accept something because you hear it and just believe it or don't believe it. Do your homework. Find out what's going on. Find out what's the truth, what's not the truth, and then make an educated decision. Don't believe anything I say. Do your homework, and then make an educated decision. Any of my podcasts, any of my websites, anything that I ever say, anytime, whatever, do your own homework. I always tell people that. Well, not always. A lot. I typically always say, do your own homework. Alternative health, do your own homework. You know, all these things. If the church, I don't know if I believe in church anymore. You know, it's like so many things that I grew up being taught in church was a lie. I mean, the Bible talks about polygamy, which you can say is good or evil, whatever. The church doesn't even talk about it. They skip over that like it doesn't exist. The astrology that's in the Bible, they skip over that like it doesn't even exist. There's so many things in the Bible the church does not want to talk about because it's too controversial. Or they're not allowed to talk about it. I don't know. The 501c3s, you know, they're somewhat controlled by the New World Order. Government says, you know, what the media is allowed to say. And if the church goes too far out there and says something that they're not supposed to say, they can get in trouble by the New World Order too, I'm sure. I mean, the Bible says there will be no place to hide. They're going to control everything. You know? So I don't know. Flat Earth, round Earth, square, tripod, whatever. Who knows? Who cares? I don't know. I don't know that I care. I have more important things to worry about. But it's worth looking into. So we're approaching 4 hours now. So I'm going to hang up. You can find us at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons. Party on. Peace out. And happy Father's Day. Okay, bye.